This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, we're here, we're live. It's Thursday. Good morning, everybody. There's so much to get into this morning. And luckily for you, we've got Pumi Mashiko, we've got Sia Sangweni, you got me, you got Canton Pillay a little bit later on with the Burning Platform. It's a full house.
Woohoo!
We're a full deck of cards.
Wow.
Well done.
Yes. Good morning. Okay, so let's get straight into it. As is our usual procedure on a Thursday morning, we get to check in on the life of a typical hardworking South African woman.
Hey, she works hard for her money.
She works hard, and we get to check in on the trials and tribulations of Pumi Mashiko. She's telling me this morning she had all kinds of designs to come in here all happy and excited, and she is. I mean, God bless you, Pums. I don't know how you do it because
Do you see me in my tra-la-la dress?
She's looking very glamorous, by the way. Dress. Very glamorous. She tells me she's going traveling today.
All the way to Pretoria.
Counts.
Do you have your passport?
Mm-hmm.
It counts. Over the Boerewors curtain to Pretoria.
It's deep.
All the way to Pretoria. But I'm psyched. I'm ready for the journey. Mm-hmm. I will be getting on my bicycle straight after the show.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully to arrive.
But the trials and tribulations of Pumi have become something of a fixture here on a Thursday, because while you think you have problems, and who doesn't, let's be fair, and Pumi doesn't by any means wear this as some kind of victim badge, but her geezer burst, she tells
me. Oh, no.
Just after she had her laptop stolen.
Oh, no.
She's had all these. Her tires burst. She's had, like, the most unbelievable January of all people.
This is the third big, like, expense.
Well, they say it comes in threes. And if you can handle it, if you can make it through January and today's the last day.
Woohoo!
Then you'll be okay.
Also, I have decided, you see, because it's January, all this shit is happening in January. Mm-hmm. Get thee behind me, Satan.
So, Pums, when a geezer bursts, it's not so much the geezer that's the problem. It's that you've got water everywhere. Your roof gets soaked. A whole lot of other stuff gets destroyed. And most people have their geezer in a stupid place. You know, I mean, it's in the ceiling, but over their clothes, for example, or over their books or something like that. And you've got to be, listen, let me tell you, you want to save yourself thousands of rands, make sure your geezer has one of those drip trays underneath it for a start, which is not an expensive thing to put in. And they literally bore a hole wherever the nearest wall is, and they make sure that it can just pour out there instead of on top of your stuff. And don't do this in a month, I'll get there, because that's when your geezer bursts. That's Pumi's discovered.
I'm very lucky because we built our house right from scratch. So we had one of those. And we do have that drip thing. And literally on Friday, I'm wondering, what the hell is that dripping noise? Sitting on the couch thinking, what the hell is that dripping noise? And outside onto the balcony, like dripping. And I just thought, oh, God. Okay. I didn't know what it was. And a friend of mine said, I think it might be your geezer. And because I am a listening person and a learning organism.
Yes.
I phoned a plumber.
Straight away.
There's a drip. Check it out. And the guy, you know what? Plumbing guys.
God bless them.
Plumbing is the... It's the career.
What did you have to pay for them to just come out and make sure that your house didn't get flooded? Or first of all, let's start off with, how much damage was there already by the time the plumber got there?
So not a lot.
Mm. Thank God. All right.
Is
it insurance stuff that you've got there, or is it not insurance stuff? Of course it's insured.
No. I'm not that person, Gareth. I am that person that sits there with my calculator and does the actuarial calculation that says, which, like my laptop, right? In over 15 years of working, I've never lost a laptop. Imagine 15 years of insurance premiums.
So in other words, I mean, you've done the work, you've calculated for yourself, you'd rather make that one-off expense.
Yeah.
Because it's way less than what you would have paid in premiums over 15 years. I got you. Okay.
Anxiety.
It's not an insensible point of view, by the way.
I have a safe in my house.
Yeah, there we go.
I have some money. in the safe.
Oh, okay.
Shut up right now. Shut up right now. There are criminals listening.
What are you talking about, girl? Where's the safe? What's the combination?
So Pumi's one of those save, and when the rainy day comes, you make sure you've got enough in the safe to be able to cover that rainy day expense. But my God, January's taken its toll, I'm sure.
This year.
That safe
is now
empty.
So my safe is now empty.
Okay.
My safe is now empty. Uh-huh. There will be no more nice things like going to the movies for the next couple of months.
You're right.
Shucks.
What? Movies are expensive, guy. And there's two of us. You know, Kana and I go to the movies. It's the two of us. It's like a date.
What are you looking at these days for movies?
No, wait. Let's just... I want to hear what happened.
Don't distract me. 512 rand.
Yeah.
For two people.
For two people. 512 rand. Okay. See, it's just it's become an upper class pursuit.
Never mind.
It's like going to the races or playing polo. What are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm going to the movies. Must be very rich. All right, yeah.
So there you have it. The
so how much damage was there?
Not a lot.
Okay.
Not a lot. They came in, they're like, oh, Giza's burst, ma'am. I'm like, oh, what does that look like? What's the cost of that? And he came in, he put in a new geyser, and I had to make a difficult decision because he gave me his quote, and I thought, what the? You gotta be kidding me. I'm gonna phone around, just give me some time.
Mm-hmm.
What's your call out fee? Let me call around and see if I can get this cheaper somewhere else.
Mm.
I did actually get it cheaper somewhere else. It was about 2,000 rands cheaper with another supplier.
Yes.
But I had to make a principled decision.
What?
And support a black business.
Oh, look at you. Very good.
I see you. I hear you.
So you paid more to be socially conscious.
Well, I want people to support my business.
Sure.
So, you know, I was just like, so here's this guy. He had two workers with him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Support those guys or support Builder's Warehouse.
Right.
So I supported the little guy.
Well,
but one thing I've learned about you is you actually don't mind some DIY, some fixing stuff, some putting things together, because once upon a time, I got roped in because Boom was talking about like, oh my gosh, I'm redoing my garden and I need to get this and I need to do that. I'm going to fix it up and I'm going to paint this. And I'm thinking, wow, this must be some hell of an activity. She's so excited. And also you just got in the new car, so I thought I wanted to drive that. And I said, I'll go with you. Let's go and shop around for your garden. That was an afternoon. Because you
Pumi doesn't mind getting her hands dirty.
And she knows her way around that hardware store, and she knows the aisle, and she knows what to get, and she knows what this does, and the goodness.
Don't knock the hardware store.
I know who to call if I need some DIY stuff, but I can't. I'm not that
when
person.
When we were in Berlin, I stumbled upon...
She found this place. I've never seen anyone so excited. Oh,
it's
Sia. Very
Sia.
Important that you're getting FaceTime calls at this time in the morning. Booty call. Hold on. No. Everybody Sia. Stop what you're doing. What is that?
What is that?
Who is it? Is it an ex?
Great weather we're having these days. I'm loving the weather.
He's just put his phone on a chair and pushed it away. No, Sia, who was that?
Sia.
Who's calling you at this time in the morning
I
if
know.
It isn't a booty call? Come on.
No, it is someone very random. It's like Ghost of Christmas Past. What did you say about the devils?
Are they saved as in don't answer ever?
No, honestly, wow. What are they? Okay.
Now we are intrigued. Answer it.
Okay, there we go. All right, I will.
So back to Pumi. When she was in Berlin with me last year, we went to a whole lot of places that were very, very interesting. Met a bunch of people. We had very little spare time, but what there was, Pumi used to find the equivalent of a builder's warehouse, but it's like a do-it-yourself
heaven.
She heaven. Found places that make little wooden cutouts of all kinds of stuff that you cannot imagine. I mean, she was so excited about this thing on the bus. was so excited about it. She was pointing at it as we drove past. She said, I walked there yesterday. You got to see that place. Six floors of unbelief.
Listen here. They have like 3D printers and stuff in that place, and you can just come in with your little design of whatever, and they'll 3D print it for you while you wait. It was unbelievable, and it was packed, and it was just the most exciting afternoon.
And you, so you are just satisfied as well by the window shopping of it all. Because you were overseas, you can't exactly buy things in bulk or huge things to put back into
your... You don't have to buy stuff in bulk. I bought stuff, put it in my suitcase.
I
bought stuff.
Okay.
You could come to my house right now and you'd be like, that is such a lovely frame. I'm like, I made it. I bought it in this place in Berlin.
But you were excited about that. Like, I haven't seen you excited about anything before. Anyway, listen, there's lots to get to today. We have a burning platform. I saw our friend Canton Pillay, who's the special presenter of the burning platform. He was on television this week on a debate on ENCA in which he kind of polished the floor with both the host and the other interlocutor.
It was lovely. Even Gog Helen enjoyed it. I saw her like tweet him.
Even Gog Helen.
They're besties now.
I'll tell you. So that was a very important appearance by one of our own, which I'm very, very pleased about. I watched most of it, but I did get frustrated because, Jesus, did you see ENCA yesterday? They were interviewing people about the political manifestos. They had Figile on, but so many mistakes on their little... They didn't... You know, you have your sub...
Spell check.
Yeah. You have your sub-editor check your... What do they call that thing that scrolls the bottom of the screen?
The ticker tape.
Yeah, it's like a ticker tape, but there's another word for it. It's like called something, and I cannot remember. If you know what it is, give me a call, or you know what to do. I mean, we've got our phones working. I'm very excited about that. 0861-555-189. What do they call that thing at the bottom of the screen on like a news channel that's constantly telling you breaking news, even though there isn't breaking news?
Google it, yeah. Google it.
It's got a name. It's got a very particular name. Anyway, they were getting every word wrong. Like Fikile was saying, the DA are hypocrites or something, but they'd put Hippocrates. Now, if the DA are ancient Greek philosophers, then I might actually vote for them.
Wow.
But they're not. And then they put up registration, but it was registration or something. Very bad. They obviously have problems with staff, or they're paying very low-level interns to do important work there.
Or they got the guy that used to do it at ANN7.
That's what I was thinking.
Maybe.
They're trying to usurp the brilliant position that ANN7 once occupied in our world.
Afro what? Afro News Buzz? Afro...
Afro World View.
That's
Afro
right. World View.
Yes.
With Afro World.
With Jimmy. Yeah.
Mzwanele.
Rebranded
Mzwanele. Man.
Please
the
get it right.
King of rebranding.
Not the news ticker.
Yeah, the news ticker, but there's another word.
Crawler, crawl or slide.
Yeah, something
Thank you, Googler.
I know there's another word. Sorry, I just can't think of what it is. Anyway.
Did our favorite have those amazing glasses on? Figile.
No, but he looks like, oh my God, he looks like such a grandma.
Let me just show you.
He looks like one of the, you know when Dionne Warwick decided she was going to go full-time into the psychic network? Now, I love Dionne Warwick, so don't think this is an attack on her at all.
What do you mean she
wore those horn-rimmed glasses that go up at the corners, and she looked like a grandma who... And she had that powdered wig look. And you remember when... Do you remember when Tracy...
Ullman.
No. I've got that clip of him this
morning. Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan. You know when Tracy Morgan and the other comics dress up as old black ladies?
They have
that
caricature.
They put on
that
powdered wig.
Yes. It's like a perm.
They talk like Madea. You know what I mean? That's kind of... He looks like that. I don't know what to say about Fikile Mbalula, but since he's become the ANC's election coordinator or whatever, he looks like a gogo. He looks like those old gogos.
He looked like a gogo way before that.
No, but he still tried to be young when he was sports minister. I think he was like, you know, he was trying to look like he was young and fit. And maybe he dyed the hair black, but now it's gone a little bit gray. He's got those horn-rimmed glasses and he's got a baby face. But now it's starting to
and
look...
And that neck.
The rolls on the neck. Jesus.
I'm really not trying to be horrible.
I love that neck, though. that neck
bad,
with the...
Eh? Oh, it's bad.
I say screw all of us because, you know, the public doesn't matter. I think about the wife. First thing in the morning, you're in bed and you roll over and that's what you see.
Shame, Sia. That's even more mean.
People have made their choices. And those beds, they must lie in them.
And she has had to make those roll beds.
Anyway, so I saw this on ENCA and it was just, I suddenly remembered why I don't watch that channel. Wow, they're bad. Sure. Then, I mean, there's so many other things that are going on in South Africa in terms of the news, but we'll save some of those for the Burning Platform. There's also stuff going on all over the rest of the world. First of all...
So odd.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening in America, but everyone is now a presidential candidate for the Democratic Party. Everyone.
Did you hear
they got about 8,000 people who are running for president by the last tally, and even one independent, Howard Schultz, who used to...
So that's what happens, right, when you have a madman at the helm. Everybody thinks, my God,
I could do this
better. But what I love about what we're seeing in America is that Americans bloody well get up and go, you know what, we fucked up the last time, we weren't voting, we didn't show up when we needed to, and now they're all showing up.
I still don't see a Democrat win coming. And remember, I've got this right. I got Brexit right. All the political pundits who told you that they knew what was going on got it wrong. All of them. I just want to point out that this is not going to change. I still think Trump is the strongest candidate, despite all the things that everybody says about him. And despite this government shutdown, which, by the way, the public have largely blamed on Nancy Pelosi. Did you see that NBC poll that came out last week?
Mm-mm.
I don't know if you pay attention to these
things.
I did see
that.
Very boring. But basically, it asked American voters and American, people who actually follow the news, so not just schlubs, said, what is your feeling on who is to blame for the shutdown? Who do you blame mostly? And so they obviously had a category for the Democratic Party, and they were about 4 or 5 points underwater. The Republican Party about the same amount underwater, so they don't blame the parties, clearly, because that's not significant. Then they went to Trump, and he got blamed by, I think, 1 in every 3 people they asked. But 2 in every 3 people blamed Nancy Pelosi. And they're not asking people out in the sticks. They're asking, like, New Yorkers and people in Washington and people on the West Coast, so traditional Democrats, and they're saying, well, it's definitely Nancy Pelosi's fault. So it this thing has backfired. Now, the government's open after the shutdown for, what, another 30 days or something?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to hopefully sort
just
out their problems.
Just in time for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, you've got to prioritize stuff, you know?
But did you hear the latest person who's running? Well, who wants
Bernie
to run?
Bernie Sanders. No. He's running. Bernie's going to run again.
I mean, he's walking there with his walking stick.
Bernie, by the way, they just published some videos of Bernie, like in the 1980s.
Does he look the
shirtless?
Oh,
singing Soviet anthems like a good communist, and he looks terrible.
No,
looks like
I don't
want to
see that. No, thank you. I'll give that a skip. Marianne Williamson. Do you know who she is?
Is she one of the Supremes that wasn't Diana Ross?
She's like big in the spiritual world.
Oh, wow. She's running for what? The Democrats, I would assume?
Presidency, yeah. I also assume that. Supposedly, she has done it before, and she failed dismally. But
she's back again.
She has written
like Hillary.
Things like A Course of Miracles. She's written a Return to Love and sold like millions of copies around the world. She's written things like The Gift of Change.
Oh, so, can you imagine Trump and her? She'll walk out of there with tears streaming down her face. A debate against Trump. You can imagine what he'd call it. You're such a loser.
Except she's definitely taken a page out of the Ganejo School of Leadership.
What's
which
that?
Is?
Don't give up.
Yeah, no, sure.
Keep trying.
That's a good thing. I mean, it's, you know, it's admirable. But if you're Hillary Clinton, I think it's time to stop trying.
You see,
She might even run.
So all of this simply just proves, again, the point that the left is left with no ideas.
Mm-hmm.
No new ideas. And
the right's ideas are old ideas.
And the right's...
That are also kind of worrying.
But
there's no centrist here. I mean,
that's what we need.
So they're talking about Kamala Harris, who was saying just 2 days ago, she's the senator for California, and she's also the one who grilled Brett Kavanaugh remorselessly when he was standing for the Supreme Court. Mm. And it turned out there was no real reason to hate this guy. You might not like his politics, but he certainly wasn't the gang rapist that Kamala Harris said he was. So she came out of that very badly too. Anyway, the point is, this woman, she's trying to run. She's probably got the best chance of it, I would say, just judging by the fact that in the Democratic Party, there are a couple of things you need to be. You need to be intersectional, which she is. Now, I mean, she's a black woman. She believes in kind of a socialized Medicare, Medicaid situation, which she's had to pull back on in the last couple of days because she's not centrist enough for some of the people in that crazy party because they're all heading towards Bernie Sanders crazy, right? Bernie's like, you know, I like Medicare. Everyone should have free everything, which is great. I mean, it's terrific if you're using other people's money, it's amazing what you can get done. But then this Kamala Harris is, she's up against people like Beto O'Rourke, who's the dude from Texas. He's putting himself forward as a major player because he's cool and he's youthful and all of that stuff, right? Doesn't really have a whole lot of cred, and he didn't win against Ted Cruz, which is embarrassing because Ted Cruz is really not an appetizing politician in any which way. Then you got Bernie, who's I don't know if he's going to live to the next presidential election, but he's there, and people love him.
He'll outlive us.
Yeah, he will. I'm telling you. It's like my mother keeps going on about her dog that's falling apart, and I'm like, that dog's going to outlive everyone. Jeez.
Bernie's 77.
Bernie's like that.
Aging like milk. He's only 77.
He looks much older.
It's a bad 77.
Really?
I mean, Trump's in his 70s. He doesn't look as bad as Bernie, and Trump's done a lot worse things in his life than Bernie has.
Yeah, my grandmother's 94.
Look at Bernie. He looks 100 years old at least.
No way.
Yeah. So these are the people. I mean, there are others I'm not going to go into now. Elizabeth Warren, I mean, do me a favor. Elizabeth Warren's also crazy, by the way. Crazy.
But Howard is trying to push for a centrist role. Howard Schultz, the former...
No, but he's not running inside the Democratic Party because he knows if he does, he'll be sidelined. So what they've done is they've got Howard Schultz outside. He's the guy who started Starbucks, right?
And a billionaire.
He's a billionaire, and that can either be held against you.
That is not necessarily a political platform.
No. But in America, it might be. It worked for Trump to a degree. So let's just think about this for a second because this is amazing to me. I do think that there's a possibility that an independent candidate might be interesting. I mean, in all honesty, Trump really is an independent candidate. He just subsumed the Republican Party.
Of course.
He turned them into his servant. And as a result, what we've got there is we've got a Donald Trump third party candidate. People don't like that because they want to blame the Republicans for what they've got with Trump. But that's really what happened. For years, America said, I wonder what it'd be like to have an independent win. And now you know. It's not necessarily what you expect, right? Anyway, so there's a lot going on there. That's in the Democratic Party. The Republicans are obviously just going to go with Trump because it's a safe bet. And they're hoping that the Democrats will just eat each other up in the primaries, which they usually do.
Which they will.
I mean, you remember how Hillary savaged Barack Obama, and then he ended up savaging her back and winning. I mean, I do want to be fair. I think he was honorable. I don't think she was. And people held that against her when she ran against Trump, what is it, 3 years ago?
Mm.
Because they said, oh, you know what? You said some pretty terrible things about, Barack. Why should we trust you? And it's a good point.
Because by that time, Barack was the world's darling.
Yeah. I've been getting a lot of offers from people on social media to help them run for office by offering them lots of free alcohol and boxes of meat like Nomvula Mokonyane.
Wow.
You know, if CliffCentral.com became like Bosasa and we backed certain political candidates and gave them a bonus every month that they didn't earn, for example, or... What Nomvula, apparently the latest news this morning, we'll get into some of this in the Burning Platform later on, but the latest news this morning is that Nomvula Mokonyane, who we always, I mean, I met her when she was still MEC for safety. Do you remember in Gauteng? Mm. This is probably 18 years ago.
Wow.
And in South Africa, you really do. If you're in the ANC, you're in politics for life, and you can grow old. I mean, I will never forget, God bless him, old Alfred Nzo, who used to fall asleep during cabinet meetings in parliament. And he was kept on as a minister, even though he didn't know what day of the week it was. So in the ANC, you can really stay forever. You can. And nobody's going to check. And you could pretend you've got the youth vote. You can put people like that masturbator Malusi Gigaba in.
But that's
window dressing, because really you're an old party. The ANC is an old party, and they're not really that interested in the young lions. They pretend to be. Pule Mabe's being given.
Well,
like,
the young lions are not interested in their own themselves. Well,
didn't they all leave with Julius? So, you know, if you're young and black, you're probably more interested in the EFF than you are the ANC, because frankly, even though the EFF has got a lot of suspicious politics, and they also have a couple of influences that are not exactly young, they're still a better bet for anyone under 30 than these 70 and 80-year-olds who are in the ANC's
NEC.
Well,
I think a lot of young people have lost interest in politics. Well, a lot of young people,
we know that.
Absolutely don't give a damn, don't even understand what the landscape of politicking is about. It's which, as South Africans, I think is watching it as a South African, I think we've failed to get young people. Have been, even with our low level of education, an incredibly politically astute nation.
You think so?
Yeah, I think that
used
we
to
have.
Be, sure.
I well, think we have been. And so many- for some reason, there's been a chasm in terms of what has happened in the past 20 years and the reason and need for any of that kind of political education. And my favorite word to hate at the moment, the wokeness of politics.
Favorite word to hate.
Oh, God, I hate that word. I don't quite know what it means or where you use it or how you use it.
I prefer not to use it. So just by the way, on that matter, because we will, again, there's lots to cover here in the Burning Platform, but it's worth giving a little throw forward here. The IEC had voter registration last weekend. And again, they're very disappointed with the turnout of young people to register. Now, remember, young people are likely to be more pissed off than anyone else at the moment because youth unemployment is at 50%. Mm. That means you've got a 50-50 chance of getting a job as the current economy is. Imagine going into university now. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better in terms of the opportunities available to young people in the job market.
I think the IEC should be pissed off at themselves. They've done an incredibly poor job.
Do you think so?
Absolutely. They've kind of sat back on their laurels. And being a communications person, professional myself, I think the job of communications and speaking to people and telling them what to do and when to do it and where to be, what is the IEC's like campaign at the moment? They're not even out there. So people
but
don't
can you blame
know.
Them can you blame them for young people's apathy towards politics? I mean, you don't think
well,
of the
I'm
IEC.
I'm not blaming them for the apathy of young people, but what I am blaming them for is I'm blaming them for their low turnout with young people because they haven't made an effort to speak to young people. They haven't made an effort to speak to young people.
You mean like they aren't utilizing social media and they're not necessarily talking in the right places? What is your particular...
Or just talking okay. in general. I mean, an A4 like street poll ad every 500 kilometers doesn't really suffice. It's not enough. One of the things that the IEC was particularly good at in the first and second elections was making South Africans, the first election, people were going to vote. People were excited about voting. Sure. People were going to show up anyway.
Regardless.
Yeah, people were going to show up anyway. But what the IEC was able to do with their second and third time around is they were able to keep that spirit up for us. They were able to let people know. I mean, do we even know who the CEO of the IEC is at the moment?
No. We remember like, who it was then.
Precisely. Yeah. Because their biggest job as the IEC is to let all of us know that, A, the elections will be fair, that the elections will be secured, whether Helen Zille believes it or not. But they have done none of that. So young people, it's not about who you are going to vote for. It is about show up to vote, understand why voting is important, understand why. And this is the thing for me. Young people do not understand that whether you show up to vote or not, if you are unhappy with the party that is in politics, if you do not show up and only 1,000 people show up, and of those 1,000 people, 600 of them vote for the ANC, you are stuck with the ANC. Young people don't know that, and it is the job of the IEC to let young people know that participating in the ballot is just as important to show how angry you are, how disappointed you are.
Well, you know, here we are. We're sitting with, it's been over a year that Cyril's been president. Or it's been just under a year. I mean, it's somewhere around there. Yeah. He was certainly put in as president of the ANC a whole year and a bit ago.
Yeah.
And the one person who, to me, exemplifies the problem with our politics is there's a minister. She's got a job. She's earning a fat salary. She's an important part of supposedly the structure of our executive. And I do not know what she's done in a year. I don't see her. She's, for all I know, she's knitting blankets for the homeless. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma is a minister. What have you seen or heard from her? She was tremendously important a year and a half ago. Do you remember? Everyone was talking about her. There were books coming out about her. She was...
We have to ask Canton.
This contrapost to...
We have to ask Canton.
I mean, what? So here's a woman who's really just got sheltered employment. She's an old gogo now. She's barely comprehensible when she does open her mouth. She looks like she should be, you know, sitting in one of those old age homes where she gets visited every couple of days by the kids, the grandkids. Oh. Honestly,
grandkids don't visit every couple of days.
Every year and a half. So she looks like she should be knitting a blanket. And what is she doing? Now people see that and they go, especially young people, well, what is this? I didn't go to the register for someone like this to have a cushy job. I mean, who knows what she's doing? She's a minister in the presidency.
And that's why I'm saying to you, I love what I see in America, where the Americans are all going, I could do a better job. I'm going to put my hand up. Look at what I could do if I was in this position, which is vastly different to, actually, I'm just going to sit back and watch how this whole thing falls apart.
Mm. Apathy. All right, let's get into some headlines, Pums. Some Gauteng doctors are going to receive salaries on Friday. Isn't that encouraging?
Tomorrow.
So, yeah, so the South African Medical Association says the National Health Department has made a commitment that Gauteng doctors will be paid their salaries on Friday. Several medical interns and community service doctors were informed on Monday they will not receive their January salaries. This is devastating. I mean, you remember, these are the people who say they want to bring in national health insurance. Okay? Yeah. This is... one of our better ministers, Aaron Motsoaledi's department. Okay? No, he's one of our better ministers in terms of at least being a man of integrity. He certainly isn't fingered in corruption.
That grunt.
He isn't mentioned in all the reports of who the state capture people are. We know he tried really hard to build an infrastructure in the Northwest, particularly under Suprahumapelo, who fought him at hook, line, and sinker because he had Gupta contracts all over the place. So Aaron Motsoaledi's one of the better people. He really is. Let's give him a bit of credit. He can't get his shit together. Totally disorganized. His department can't even pay the doctors. This is bad. You think doctors are going to pitch if they're not going to get paid? You think they're going to do their job? Sure, a couple of them are very ethical people. I'm sure the majority of them are. They want to help you. That's why they got into being doctors. Many of them are people who believe in the Hippocratic Oath. But you don't pay people. Eventually, they start getting annoyed. And if Gauteng... and the National Health Department, in this case, are not paying doctors, we have serious problems. And then, of course, Aaron Motsoaledi is going to tell us in a couple of weeks' time that the National Health Insurance is a great idea, that he's going to take money from private health care, and he'll manage that better than they do. Of course he'll. Just remember the story when we get to that, because it's coming. They'll want us to forget about this, but January doctor salaries will come up at some point. Just remember this. Put a tab on that.
I'm going to stop grunting.
I was about to say, this woman, do you want to uncross your arms, smile a little, Pumi's stop grunting
cross,
now?
But I don't blame her.
Yeah, you are not here for this party.
The national DG confirmed and liaised with the provincial departments of health that made the undertaking. That sounds like a lot of work. Liaising and making calls and there are actually people operating on people, life-saving procedures going on. Guess whose work's more important here, people? The guy is calling the department of this and the national director general and... oh, do me a favor. If these doctors aren't paid, we've got problems. Judge Mogoeng Mogoeng, the Chief Justice, has warned judges of allowing themselves to be captured. He's been a very scrupulous man, this, for much of the term that he has occupied the seat of Chief Justice, the most important judge in the country. And remember, he surprised everybody, even though he was a Zuma appointment, by being a man of principle. And I think a lot of people in South Africa are very impressed with this guy. They have a lot of respect for him. He seems to be someone who means what he says and does what he says. And he's now saying that the rest of the judges better be careful He says he hopes that when the public does criticize the judiciary, they'll be objective and they'll be willing to listen to the response, which is a very reasonable position. You hear a lot of hysteria. This guy's being quite reasonable. He's upfront and open to public scrutiny and criticism of the judiciary. He says that we need to be very, very careful that judges are not captured. It never matters to him, he said, what views people express about his approach. If you are not careful as a judge, you begin to position yourself for praises and you veer off the legitimate stances that you know are likely to attract criticism. You're allowing yourself to be captured. So very, very sensible words coming from the Chief Justice. That's always encouraging. At least one arm of government's doing its job. And then this PIC inquiry, which turns out is as exciting as the state capture inquiry. Deputy Finance Minister and Chairman of the state-owned public investment corporation, Mondli Gungubele, said on Wednesday he'd done nothing wrong after a whistleblower made new graft allegations at the pension fund. The PIC, very important player in South Africa's economy, has nearly 2 trillion rand of civil servants' pensions under their custody. So what they're entrusted to do is to take the money that civil servants have been putting away in their pensions. They, by the way, they don't have a say in this. It's taken off and it's invested for them. Their job as the PIC is to put that money into places where it will grow so that when you're 70-something and you're not still in cabinet, you will be paid a living stipend. You will be able to extract your pension every month and you'll be able to buy food and, you know, living expenses will be covered and things that will make you have some sort of dignified old age. You would expect. And some of these people are dedicated civil servants in the bureaucracy, people who've honestly been working hard every single day to make sure that the country works. In fact, a lot of them have been doing all the heavy lifting in terms of making the country work. Now, the PIC is meant to take that money and make it more, not make it less. They've made some very, very dangerous investments over the last while, and now they're being questioned about graft and corruption within the PIC, because obviously when you control this much money, there's a temptation among certain people in the PIC, that's certainly the allegation, to invest in things that might benefit you more than it would the people whose pensions you're handling.
And you know how last week we were talking about Edgars?
Yes.
And dubious doesn't always mean that it is that it is maybe for a backhand or like a kickback coming to you. Dubious also means like it's just a bad investment. And there has been a lot of talk about the PIC bailing out Edgars.
Mm-hmm. What for, right?
That's a dubious decision right there. Yeah. I mean, Steinhoff and the PIC.
Yeah, what a terrible investment that was. But there are lots of companies. I mean, I hear people from saying that Eskom should be bailed out by PIC money. And can you imagine a worse investment than that? Can you imagine a worse investment than Eskom right now? Even in the whole world, I think there are probably companies in Venezuela that would be a better investment than Eskom.
Do not get me started about Venezuela.
We'll get into it later. All right, so there's the PIC. Apparently,
do you know where that is on the map, Sia?
All I know is who we are backing, thanks to Gareth Cliff and letting me know.
Maduro.
There we go.
Okay, so let's just look at this this farcical and ridiculous theatrical experience that we're all gearing up for called the State of the Nation Address. Total waste of time that we can avoid and we don't have to expend any more pointless money on. It's like a parade for the politicians, and I don't think they need any more attention, especially in an election year, than they've already got.
We need a government shutdown for that state of the
nation. I would love that to be shut down, because now Cyril's going to pitch up and just talk a whole lot of crap. He never addresses the real problems. No president ever does. The State of the Nation is an opportunity for them to pretend that they've achieved things over the last year. We're in dire straits. I don't want to sit and watch this, so I'm not going to. Even though once upon a time I took such an interest in it, we developed a drinking game around it. And I think we brought more people to the State of the Nation Address than ever before. I'm doing the opposite this year. I'm encouraging you to get on with your work. It's during a work day. We all have things to do. We don't have time to listen to this crap. Don't waste your time. And who really cares what fashions politicians are wearing?
It's not fun anymore, as you said.
So, you know, one of the things that I always do every year with the State of the Nation is get that speech.
You get it beforehand and you read through it.
And I read through it with a highlighter because in our business, in the business of communications, that State of the Nation address, and especially in a election year like this, is a very good indicator of where attention is going to be. So where the government's attention is going to be.
Uh-huh.
And where you are likely to find more possibilities of landing proposals.
I see what you mean.
Okay.
Okay, right.
But also not just in politics. So it's not just with governments and government departments, because you know what business in this country does is it follows a lot of what that government spending.
Well, of course, because
is and where they
the
are.
Government is the single biggest actor in the economy in this country. Sure.
They do the same. Okay. So for me, one of those things.
But you don't need to watch it. You can read this.
No.
I
don't. In fact, I only watch it with Twitter. Twitter makes everything so much better.
I mean, so Balega Mbete is still the speaker. Amazingly, she's been quiet as a mouse. Remember how noisy she was in the run-up to the ANC's big Nazaret conference? Now suddenly she's as quiet as a mouse, which can only mean that, you know, things are going on. I'm always suspicious when people go quiet.
You know who I also saw the other day in Rosebank is Auntie Jessie Duarte.
Oh, you need to listen to JJ Tabane's interview from
JJ this week.
Oh, my.
Was so funny about
goodness.
Her. Go and listen to that podcast. Yes. It's available on cliffcentral.com. Anyway, so Balega Mbete briefed the media on the State of the Nation address, which will take place next week, Thursday. The address affords the president an opportunity to speak to the nation on the general state of South Africa economically and politically. So let's see. They're always going to pull out the what's left of the SABC. They'll make them sit outside in some kind of constructed glass house, and then they'll watch the politicians parade past in their outfits.
It's a lot like the Lurie's.
It is a bit like the Lurie's, and it's probably about as credible as the Oscars. So let's just leave it alone. Yeah, just leave it alone. Don't bother. As Pumi says, if you're really interested and you care about what's actually going on, read the speech in your own time. And then the ANC says its leaders, including former President Jacob Zuma, will have to be disciplined for what the party says is the negative use of social media. Because Jacob Zuma said he was on Twitter, right? And he was in a spat with Fikile Mbalula after the latter questioned his presence at a government event in Limpopo. Yes. So Fikile said, "But comrade president, is this the right thing to do unless you are delegated, Msholozi? If..." No, it's, this is amazing. "You were a president before, BFO. Is this the right protocol to go around addressing events that should be addressed by a sitting president instead of a sitting president?" But I'll take that away. I mean, who doesn't make mistakes? So Zuma smacks back. Can you imagine how annoyed he was being told what to do by a guy he made? He made Fikile. Fikile didn't exist without Jacob Zuma. "Comrade Mbalula, I'm certain that you're not supposed to ask me such a question through Twitter, as you are inviting me to ask you questions on your question. This would lead to a conversation between you and I, either you educating me on ANC policy or vice versa." So it carries, and then Andile Nungisa got involved.
That Andile Lungisa comment, I was just this is not right.
This Mbalula arrogance is unbelievable and unbecoming, he said. "It has elements of continuous sowing divisions in our ANC. What is the issue for former President Zuma to attend when he's invited by Hosi Mampuru II? Lentwana, Iluke, Izolo Noko, Ikamisa, Ityale, Asiyoyiki.
We aren't scared of him.
Sihlonipile."
That last sentence is so bloody loaded.
What does it mean?
Because you know the issue of Fikile and going to the mountain, right?
Oh, Jesus. Did he bring that up?
That's what ukuluka is. Ukuluka is to go to the mountain, right? And that's why he says lentwana. So lentwana is, first of all, is this kid, right? Yeah. This guy.
Not referring to him as a man.
Referring to him as a man, right? And the fact that he's just very recently come back from the mountain. And now here he is, right? not showing any respect, the disrespect. Okay. That sentence, you know that sentence, ne? It's proper. Hello, Canthan.
Canthan Pillay is here. We're getting ready for Burning Platform. Let me just finish this up. So Fikile says, I note your tweet, which clearly either means he's been disciplined and he knows his place, or he's noting the tweet because I'm going to use this later.
You know that level of bitch smack.
Well, Stephen Huertas wrote an interesting piece this week. I only read a bit of it because it kind of tailed off for me. But he said that, interestingly, the ANC are now using Twitter so that we can get some insights. We always used to complain that we never had insight into the NEC and what's really going on. Remember? That it was behind closed doors? Well,
although
Twitter's giving us an insight.
You know, hey, Baba, the ructions within this party.
All right, loads of other good stuff, but we'll get into that during the Burning Platform. Oh, man, do we have a lot to talk about. Jesus. Later on, we're going to have Sandra Gordon, and she's a communications expert, CEO of the Iconic Group. We're going to talk about marketing, communications, the stuff Pumi's interested in, advertising, public relations, how it's all changing. Right, Pums?
How nothing stays the same.
Nope, nothing does. So it's time for Said by Sia, but before we get to that, are data costs killing you?
Oh, of course.
Well, I'm raising three hands up here.
Yeah, I've got good news. If you feel alone and the data costs are killing just you, you're not alone. And your future can be lit with a game changer from Telkom. Become a Cliff Central listener, series binger, a playlist connoisseur, the ultimate movie buff. All of that content that you love, that you want to choose for yourself from the internet. You can have it. Access music services, TV movies, TV series, games, YouTube. And now, Cliff Central podcasts without using your data. I'm not kidding. What you need to do is get one of these lit bundles. Have you heard about them, Sia?
Uh-huh.
So you get to cliffcentral.com for a step-by-step guide on how you can get lit with Telkom. And isn't that exciting? You can get our podcasts without having to use your data. People always said, oh, it's impossible. You're never going to do this podcast thing because most people in this country, they can't afford.
Well, and now Telkom says
we've got a way. And they're not messing around.
Happy days. So there we go. Here again.
Yes, very, very nice. Get your act together. Get online. Go to cliffcentral.com. And you may not have to waste any data from that moment on. Go and check it out with Telkom and their lit bundles. All of that and more on the way. Let's get to Said by Sia. What do you have for us to inspire us and fill us with hope and joy this morning, Sia? And just a little bit of optimism for those people who've had a crappy start to their day.
It is. Some great optimism from the medical world this morning. This is really, really cool. AI, we love it. You know, the likes of facial recognition can now help unlock our phones these days. But now facial recognition can even save our lives. There's a Boston-based medical tech company that has now developed an artificial intelligence that could scan your face and spot unusual genetic disorders. How crazy?
So what, they can read you and find out whether you've got a propensity for some sort of genetic condition, maybe a cancer, maybe a macular degeneration, that kind of thing.
This is so the year 3000 for me, and the fact that we are doing this now is incredible. So the algorithm currently being used by leading geneticists at more than 2000 sites, upwards of 130 countries around the world, they've done this new study, and researchers have now shown how the algorithm was able to outperform actual people when it came to identifying diseases. They've tested it out with 17,000 kids with 200 plus genetic disorders. Humans were able to spot about 20 cases accurate, while this new AI had a distinction of 64% and being correct at all times.
Wow.
So let's see what happens. It's called...
When it gets to 90, call me.
Oh, but even 64 is kind of good for humans only just getting 20% right. It's called Deep Gestalt. G-E-S-T-A-L-T.
Gestalt.
Gestalt.
Now, what happens if you have plastic surgery?
What's that?
What happens if you have plastic
surgery or Botox?
Plastic surgery and then, or Botox. Yeah, then it picks up that you've got a condition for that.
It picks up that you have some...
In other words, don't go for Botox.
Substances in your face. Yeah, don't do Botox. It's going to ruin your health.
There are a lot of rich people
case.
Who will not be able to use this technology.
Yeah, this facial image analysis framework, it's able to highlight similarities to hundreds of genetic disorders. Hmm. I'm saying this is so year 3000, and the fact that we're doing this now is incredible. So they're still in development phases, but for now it's really, really impressive. Hmm. That's it said by Sia for this morning.
Thank you, Sia. Very, very nice. All right. It is almost time for the burning platform, cliffcentral.com. You can get hold of us on 0861-555-189 if you want to message us, 079-748-2090. Put it into your phone now and you never know. There might be something that comes up in the show. You feel you have to take part. You have to have a comment. You have to be a contributor to our show. You can do that anytime you like. We'll talk to the star of this week's debate on ENCA, Canthan Pillay, in a short while. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We all watched that.
Let's
have it out was the show. And Canthan kind of wiped the floor with...
Canthan came out swinging.
Yeah.
Like Creed.
So, the Burning Platform brought to you by Nando's is next on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.